Love it. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into the word this morning. So we are on number three in the series, Move Mountain Move, number three in the series. How many of you can remember the four things that Jesus taught us to do to move our mountain? How many can remember? Number one, have faith in God. Have faith in God. All right. Number two, speak to the mountain. Number three, believe what you say is going to happen. And number four, don't doubt. Now, we've dealt with the don't doubt. We dealt with that last week. But today we're going to talk about resisting the devil and overcoming his plans and his attacks against us. Now, I've had my fair share of demonic attacks against my life, but I'm not going to expound on that because I don't want to give any time to him and give any glory to his activities. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that you've had your own fair share. And it's enough now, enough of what he's been doing to us, and we're going to draw a line in the sand and we're going to push back. Amen? Amen. So reach one hand up, say reach up. Other hand, say push back. In Jesus' name. All right. James 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So that's my goal today, is to give you a winning strategy to overcome demonic attacks. Are you ready? Yeah. All right. So I've entitled my sermon today, The Challenge. The Challenge, because what we want to try and do today is impart to you some knowledge and some revelation about how you can challenge the devil to stop him from what he's doing. So everybody say this with me. Enough. In Jesus' name. Say it again. Enough. In Jesus' name. I don't like talking about the devil, but sometimes we have to. At Bible college, we teach on demonology and so on. How there are some things that we need to be aware of. The Bible gives us some extreme warnings about the devil that we need to be aware of and take cognizance of. Because as you know, he is a fallen archangel. He is a real even personality. He was an archangel and got kicked out of heaven. And when he got kicked out of heaven, came down to earth, he was not happy. He was not a happy camper. All right. In fact, the Bible says he came down here extremely angry. In Revelation 12 and verse 12, it says, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you in great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time remaining. Now, that word see, in Revelation, we come to find out that it is symbolic of people. It talks about masses of people. So where it says, watch out, earth, then it says, watch out, people. It's talking about people on the earth. Because as you know, I'm sure the sea doesn't care. All right. Now, we have been given authority. We have been given authority over the works of the devil, because Jesus defeated him on the cross by his shed blood on our behalf and then gave us the victory. Can you say amen? Amen? So we have got this authority and we're supposed to use it. The only thing is this, that many Christians don't know that they have this authority and they are not aware of the devil's tactics, his strategies, and his MO. So what do you think is going to happen if you're unaware? If you're unaware, what's going to happen is that Satan is going to take advantage of your lack of knowledge. And we dealt with that last week just a little bit. And the scripture says to us in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And this word advantage that here means to outwit. It means to trick or to take advantage of somebody by means of a sneaky or sinister way. You know, the devil doesn't just come out, you know, wearing a black coat and a red hat and horns and go, hey, I'm the devil. Only at Halloween, okay? Because it's of the devil, just in case you didn't know. All right? He's everywhere. I don't know how people can't see it. Everywhere, everything's devil. Yeah, but it's good for kids. Do want my kids to miss out on devil stuff. Okay, enough of that. Moving right along. Yeah, okay. So, the devil doesn't just come out and give you like frontal, I'm the devil. He always comes in a sneaky way. He comes in sneaky so that you begin to believe his lies. And he tries to get you to distrust God. Hath God said. Like that? I didn't do that in the first service. I should have done that in the first service. Hath God said. Yeah, good, huh? Yeah, you want to do it again? Oh, no, enough already. You got that one. So the devil is playing with your mind, and he's trying to get you to doubt what God said. He comes up sneaky ways of doing it. But we've been told to resist him. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober. And that's not talking about alcohol, but alcohol would work. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert. Another word for that is vigilant. Be vigilant. And cautious at all times. Cautious at all times. When I think about being cautious at all times, I think about me driving on the freeway. And honestly, I wish I had chameleon eyes when I'm driving on the freeway. Because I'm looking left, looking right, looking front, looking the back, looking in my mirror, looking everywhere, looking for cops. That's what I'm doing. No. Hallelujah. No, we're looking for people that are not doing, staying in their lanes, you know. Isn't it like an offense if you change lanes without indicating? But it's okay if you change lanes and then indicate. Okay, I don't know, but you know, we're always watching. You know, my mom used to say to me, you may not be the fool on the road, but watch out for the fool that is on the road. And I mean, this is a dangerous place. I mean, the freeway is like, so we need to be that alert, not so much that we become devil conscious. We don't want to be looking for devil in doorknobs. You know, there's a devil, there's a devil. Everything is a devil. Don't wear that shirt. It's from the devil. You know, all these kind of things. There's devils in those paintings. Well, then cast them out. You know, why better bother you? But we don't want to be so devil conscious that we become not Holy Spirit conscious. We'll be more conscious about God and his presence and then let the devil just get off. But don't be taken by surprise, because the devil is after you. There's a truth here. He said, that enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to eat up, looking for someone to devour. The devil wants to devour you. You need to know that, child of God. We are actually in a warfare. The devil is after you. He really wants to take you down. He doesn't want you to make it to the finish line. He didn't care about you before you became a Christian, because he already had you. But when you escaped from his kingdom and got into God's kingdom, now he wants to take you down. Verse 9, but resist him. Resist this roaring lion. Now watch how it says to resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attacks. Rooted, established, immovable. So your faith has got to be strong. It's got to be immovable. It's got to be rooted. It's got to be established. Faith is critical to resist the devil. If you don't have faith, you don't know how to use it, the devil is going to walk all over you. He's going to have you for lunch. I'm always amazed at some people go, you know, faith is not that important. You don't have to make such a big deal about it. Oh, wait, okay, so you can't get saved without it. Because you have to believe, you've got to believe, and that's how faith comes. You can't get saved without faith. Oh, wait, you can't resist the devil without faith. Huh. Oh, wait, you can't please God without faith. Yeah, I guess it's not important. Don't tell me it's not important. It's critical. It's like breathing. It's like breathing. So, well, oxygen is not that important. Yeah, just don't breathe for a while. Everybody say enough,
enough.
In Jesus' name. But you know, before we can resist the devil, we have to know something about how he operates, something about how his attacks come, so that we can deal with them immediately and how we can stop them. And then what's more, not only how to stop them, but you know that we can actually prevent further attacks. I'm going to show you today how you can prevent further attacks coming. Would you be interested to hear?
Yes.
All three of you. All right. Awesome. Remember, Jesus said this, the devil comes to what?
Steal,
kill, and destroy. So we know why he's coming, and that explains to us his operation and his strategies. If you get that down, you've got enough on him. You can identify him. And it's very, very important that you identify his strategy the moment it happens and do something about it. Don't just sit around waiting and see, well, we'll see where this goes and maybe it's going to happen. Maybe it's... No, no. You want to deal with it straight away. Now, sickness is one of the devil's strategies, and we know he's behind sickness, behind all sickness. And so in a few weeks' time, we're going to get to that. Next week, we're going to deal with the power of God's word, because without that knowledge of power, then you're not going to have faith to operate in. But we're going to get to how to deal with sickness and so on and so forth. But give me some time. We'll get there in a few weeks' time. All right. So the word resist, we're told to resist the devil. We're told to resist the devil. What does it mean to resist the devil? Well, firstly, it means to take exception to. Take exception to. Take exception to. So take exception to his actions. Don't allow him to get away with it. Take exception. Go, oh, no, no. No, 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 no. That's not permissible. I'm not going to just lie down and roll over. No, no, I'm not Doris Day. This is it. It's not gay, Sarah, or whatever it will be. No, no, I'm going to resist you. And the next one is to dispute. To dispute. You know, I've had, in the last 2 years, around about $35,000 worth of disputes with insurance companies. I'm not kidding you. Real numbers. I have spent so much time and so many hours on the phone with medical insurance companies and doctors disputing their claims. And I've been right every single time. I have been paid out over $20,000 because of wrong claims. I would sit there and work out how much I'm earning the church per hour. How many have got telephone accounts and you've had to argue with the telephone companies because of the disputes and the wrong charges? Yeah, you see people blazing their hands up. Okay, so this is the thing. When the devil comes against you, he thinks he's got a right. And he tries to convince you he's got a right. You have the right to dispute his claim. Argue with him. Just say, no, no, I'm not giving in to you. Don't have it. So to resist means to have a formal objection. A formal objection. It means to question the validity of his attack. What gives you the right? What gives you the right? What are you basing your attack on? You can't do that. These are the kind of arguments that you could present to the devil. It means to contest. Say, no, I'm contesting that. I'm not permitting that. I'm just not going to accept that as it is. I'm going to contest it. And then it means to order or to halt. Sorry, to order to halt. To order to halt. And to be identified. I was in the military. I was a sharpshooter in the military, a sniper. Really good. Could hit a small target like this from 300 yards without a problem. Rapid fire. Yeah. Only miss maybe one shot out of 10. And that just not hitting the center. So it was amazing to me when my eyesight came down to 20/20. I thought everybody was blind. Because I used to have 20/40 vision. I didn't know that. But then it came down to 20/20. I went and saw the doctor. I said, I need glasses. I can't see. He said, hey, that's how we all see. I said, you got to be kidding me. So yeah, you know, this is the thing. I had to do sentry duty. And stand out there with my rifle. And if something came, I had to say, halt. Who goes there? Name yourself. You know, all of those kind of things. Well, this is what you need to do. You understand something. You're standing guard at your door over your family and over your life. And when something locks and the postman delivers a bunch of rattlesnakes, you don't just say, oh, I've been expecting you. Come on in. For goodness sake. No, no. You say, wait a minute. I didn't order this flu. I didn't order this illness. I didn't order this disease. You don't have any right bringing that in here. I'm contesting you. I'm resisting you. I'm arguing with you. You have no authority to bring that in my house. In the name of Jesus, you stop, devil. I recognize you. Take that stuff with you. Get out of here. So you have to stop it at the door. You have to take immediate response. You know, when we lived in South Africa, Jackie had two monkeys, not at the same time, one after each other. And they were both South American squirrel monkeys. They built tiny little things, but they could stretch out when they grew. I mean, she'd put them in a little cake tin and put cotton wool, and that's where they lived. And you know, the first one was so tiny, was just like taken from its mother when it was 6 weeks old. So Jackie had to be the mother. So this means Jackie had to eat the food, and then the monkey had to eat out of her mouth, because that's how monkeys eat. They eat out of the mother's mouth. Gross, I know. Said, ain't going to kiss you ever again, sweetheart. But, you know, I should have brought pictures. I should have brought, maybe next week, if I remember, I'll bring pictures. I'll show you monkey eating out of her mouth. How many want to see that? Yeah, I've got a full house next week, girl. And you're the main thing on the menu. Anyway, so this little monkey was called Susie. And it would run around the house. I thought it was a human being. It would eat our food, would drink the soda, put its face in all the way down. It would ride the dog like a jockey, ride the dog, play with the cat. Cat could not catch it. That's how quick this little monkey was, okay? In fact, Hayne had a huge dog called Dobie. That's a good name for a slouch. It was a slouch. It was a cross between something and something, but it was huge, okay? Huge ridgeback and something else. And this monkey would come up to this dog, and this dog is lying there trying to sleep, and it would open its mouth, literally pull its mouth in and look inside like, you know, you see in the like circus when the guy puts a hat on the lion, and you say, don't do that, don't do that. That lion just shut his mouth, and you're done. We would do that. We said, the dog is going to eat you. It was too quick. He was too quick. Dog couldn't get a hold of him. Cat couldn't get a hold of him. Nothing. Now, what he used to do is to run up the drapes, get the top, and then hang over backwards. Just flop over backwards, hanging by his back feet. He was having fun, okay? And you wouldn't know he was on the drapes. And you come walk into the room, and the next thing, bam, he's on you. Just jump. Susie, jump on you. Let me tell you what. You know the thing about get the monkey off your back? Instantly. Instantly. You don't even think, I wonder if I should keep this monkey. It lands on you and you freak out. Freak out. Because it's all over you. And you're like, get off, get off, get off, get off. And it's on your back. And it's all over. It's so quick. It's so quick. And by like, you just freak out. Immediate knee-jerk reaction, get rid of it. Tell me another knee-jerk reaction. I think it's even worse. We came to visit America, preaching tour. We got to see a waterbed. So we got to have one of these. So we buy the mattress, we go back to South Africa. Of course, now we have to make a frame because there's no frames in South Africa. Nobody's got water beds. So we have to make a frame, and then we fill up. We go through this process of too hot, too cold. The water's got to be the right temperature. Otherwise, you freeze or you sweat, you know, and there's got to be the right amount of water. Otherwise, you're too sink into the bottom of the boat, you know, or it's too, this is a tough thing. But nevertheless, we've been to America and we have a waterbed. Nobody in our city has a waterbed. We have a waterbed. People should come visit us to see our waterbed. Okay? I'm telling you, we were somebody. Well, one night I'm sleeping, my shirt off, it's hot, it's Africa, no air conditioning. Okay? Not like this, no air conditioning. In the middle of the night, a bullfrog jumps on me, on my chest. Came in the house somehow and it jumps on my chest, middle of the night. Give me the monkey any day. But in the middle of the night, this cold, slimy thing lands on the size of a man's hand on my chest. I came up out of that bed, and I'm walking on water. Jackie's going through a hurricane. She's going through this tidal wave while I am on this side of the bed. I am off this bed. I'm up and out of here, and it's in the dark. Talk about bashing your toes on the side, coming off the bed, and your knees, and everything, it doesn't matter. I'm getting off the bed till I put the light on to see what this thing is that's on me. So I want you to imagine if I didn't do that, and I was walking around with a big frog on me here and a monkey like us, I'm going, I wonder if God is trying to teach me something. Maybe he's saying, I need to be a zookeeper. Yeah, I think that's what it is. No, 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 no. How many of you go, wait a minute, it's not right to have a frog on your chest or a monkey on your head. How long would it take for you to say, that's not right? But why do we let the devil talk us into stuff like that and we say, God is busy doing something. He's busy teaching me something. Come on, dummy. Come on. Come on. Imagine you walk into a place and you've got a big frog. Hey, you know you've got a frog on your face? Yeah, I know. I know. I've prayed about it. Really? Have you ever thought of doing something else about it? Well, what do you think? I think it's the will of the Lord. When I drive on the freeway, I just have to look out of the left eye. So we can have a knee-jerk reaction when Satan comes against us, and that's okay. And the knee-jerk reaction is simply, in the name of Jesus. That's the knee-jerk reaction. Somebody come, whoa, I'm not going to let that happen. You go into a car wreck, and just in the name of Jesus, divine protection. All right? You wake up in the morning and your throat is all swollen and everything. Just in the name of Jesus, straight away. All right, it's good. However, the knee-jerk reaction doesn't last ongoing. You know why? Because the devil doesn't quit. There's no quit in him. He keeps coming back like waves against the seashore, like hitting the dock. He just keeps coming back. Also, if something has happened in your life that is more permanent, that doesn't take just one time, it's more permanent, like we heard this morning when Stephanie was talking about praying for her daughter that had deafness, and for 18 months, with tears running down her face, she kept thanking God that her daughter could hear, that her daughter could hear, that her daughter could hear, until one day somebody came, put the fingers in the ear, pop, opened the ears, bam, just like that instantly. But it took 18 months of standing by faith, rooted and firmly grounded by faith and resisting this thing. It would have been much easier for her to roll over and say, oh, well, I guess that's my lot in life. My daughter's going to be deaf and that's all there is to it. You know, a lot of times that happens to parents and they don't stand against what the devil has done in the child's life and they just accept it. No, you don't have to accept it. You can stand against it. And that's what I'm trying to teach you today. You can stand against it. So we're going to show you how you can prepare yourself to deal with not only immediate knee-jerk reaction, but also how you can deal with problems of the devil coming on again and again and again and not quitting and standing strong, just like Pastor Brian prophesied. Climbing that mountain or moving out the way. One of those things, we're going up, under, or over, but we're moving that mountain. Amen? Amen. And we're not going to quit. In Jesus' name. Everybody raise your hand and say, enough. In Jesus' name. Okay. So we want to focus on moving the storms out of our life and the mountains out of our life. We're going to take a note from Jesus on how to do that. A lesson from Jesus in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. The other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, that was a thought from the devil. That is exactly what the devil wants you and I to think. When we're in the middle of the trial, when we're in the storm, when we're facing the mountain, and we seemingly can't move this thing out the way, we get these thoughts. God doesn't care about you. He's too busy with other people. Don't bother God now. And you're like, God, don't you care? I mean, look at what I'm going through. Don't you care? And of course, he does care. But if the devil can get us to believe that he doesn't care, You know, so many people have fallen for this lie. This is the devil. This is where he works. Remember, he came to Adam and Eve with the same way. No, God didn't say that. Remember that? Hath God said? Remember that? Yeah. This is the same one. This is exactly the same thing. You fall for a lie of the devil because it's like so underhanded. It's so sneaky the way he does it because he works with where you're hurting. He works with those emotions. He works with a real pain and it's not going away. So, obviously, God doesn't care, right? Well, so he arose, Jesus arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. Now, I just want to show you something here. And it's just an interesting thing. He spoke to the wind first, and then the sea. There was a routine. There was an action that he did, and it was in a particular order. Anybody think why he spoke to the wind first before he spoke to the waves? Because the cause of the waves was the wind, the root cause. And this is the thing, when we're facing a trial or a mountain, we have to find the root cause. And today we're going to show you the root cause. I'm going to show you. So we have to get to the root cause and we have to fix that. Otherwise, this problem just keeps on reoccurring. Even so often, people will get healed. Somebody in my church got sugar diabetes, went blind, prayed for him, got healed, and continued eating two desserts at every meal. So he went up to 350 pounds in weight, had a heart attack, and died, and he had a heart attack because of sugar diabetes. But he was healed, but he went back. So the root cause, it didn't matter that we got healed because he went back to the original problem, the root problem. So we have to watch that. We have to go, well, what is the root problem? So Jesus spoke to the wind, which was the original problem. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, to his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. They said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Another point of interest here, Satan was behind this. He was totally whipped up the storm, trying to drown everybody, trying to get rid of Jesus. He'd be trying to get rid of Jesus the whole time. But Jesus didn't address the devil in this situation. Now, there are many other occasions, and we'll get to that as well, where Jesus did address demons directly. He cast them out of people that were sick. Not every sick person has a demon, but there were certain, like deafness and dumbness and other issues, arthritis, certain things. But not every arthritis is demon possession. Let me not go there. It's Bible college material. But what I want to say is there are times when he did address demons and cast them out, but he didn't hear. He didn't hear. He just went straight to the storm and to the wind, and he spoke to directly to the problem right there and told it to calm down. The interesting thing is this. He expected his disciples to do something about it and to leave him to sleep. He got up and he said to guys, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And why don't you have any faith? Well, what do you mean, why don't we have any faith? Well, remember this. When they left the shore, Jesus said to them in this passage, let's go over. We're going to the other side. He didn't say, we're going to go halfway and we're going to drown. He didn't say, you know what? I prophesy that this trip will have serious problems. He didn't say that. He said, we're going over. And if Jesus said we're going over, he didn't say we're going under. We're going over. And God's word says to you, you're going over. You're not going under. So he says to you, why are you afraid? Why don't you do something about the problem? That's what he was saying to him. Guys, stop being so fearful. Do something about the problem. And right now, remember, Jesus defeated the devil on the cross, shed his blood, overcame him, and gave that authority to us that he won. The victory was Jesus, but the victory is now ours through Christ. And so we now are to exercise that authority that we received through Jesus. That's why I said, you resist the devil. Don't ask me to do it. I've already done what I'm supposed to do. Now you resist him because this devil doesn't know when to stay down. He's going to come back at you. Now, what principle did Jesus use? This is important. What principle did Jesus use to overcome this, to move the mountain, stop the storm, stop the waves? What did he use? This is it. This is the principle. He used the power of speaking words of faith. That's what he used, the power of speaking words of faith. You know the scripture in Proverbs 18:21? It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God is life. And the devil is death. Yeah? Remember Jesus said the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil is death and God is life. So this scripture could have said, Satan and God, the power is in the tongue. Satan and God, the power is in your tongue. Literally, because we have the power of choice, that we could either choose life or choose death, we can choose what we're going to say. This means that our confession either gives God or Satan dominion in our life. Since we can choose what we're going to say, and remember, words of death give Satan the power, an open door to attack us. Words of unbelief, words of doubt, words of death, words that are cursing and harmful, that gives Satan the power. But words of life, words of life and faith open the door for God to move in your life. You might say, well, why hasn't God moved in my mouth, in my life? Well, look at your mouth. The problem might be 1 inch below your nose. You got a big hole. 1 inch below your nose. And you're not using it for God. Amen. Satan's got a hold of it. I mean this. If Satan gets a hold of your tongue, Satan's got dominion over you. That's it. That's where it is. So we have the authority and we have the power to stop Satan. We have that. Provided we haven't given Satan the authority and power over us through the words of our own mouth. What we speak and what we say will either release God's power on our behalf or it will open the door to Satan. If you're speaking words of faith and words of life and words of healing, God will be moving because words of faith are being spoken and God is life, it's happening. But if you're speaking words of death, words of doubt, words of unbelief, words of hate, you're giving Satan opportunity in your life. Let me give you another example, another illustration. Words are actually containers. Words are containers, like buckets. And we could put into that bucket whatever we want to. We can put into a bucket if I say love. That's a word. It's a bucket carrying love in it. If I say faith, healing, goodness, peace. That word coming towards you has peace in it. Has peace in it. If you receive it, you receive peace. But on the other hand, I could put into that word, you're no good. I hate you. You're never going to amount to anything. I'm sorry the day you were born. It was such a mistake to marry you. My life has been hell since we got married. Now, those words are spoken in homes. They're spoken in homes. What do you think they're doing? What do you think those words are doing? They're containers. They're carrying that with them. And they may be opening the door for Satan to destruct your home and destroy your children, or you might be giving opportunity to God to move in your home. Amanda did an amazing thing for the Next Gen, and I want to thank her for what she did, and I'm stealing, with her consent, the sermon and the teaching that she did for Next Gen. I want to show you something. I'm going to show you some photographs that were taken of water molecules. So go ahead and show us the first one. The first one. The first top left corner is a molecule of tap water from a normal city. All right. Now, what they did is they took one molecule of water and they put it under an extremely high-powered microscope, and they put this microscope and the water in an isolated room so that they could use one sound. It was a soundproof room, and then they used an isolated sound on the water molecule, and it changed shape. Not only did it change shape, it stayed in that shape. Now, some interesting things were done. That water molecule, when the cell phone was brought towards it, changed into that shape, the cell phone shape. Then the next one is they played heavy metal music, and look what it did. Then at the bottom center, that's a typo, it should be the word love, right over there, was spoken. Just the word love was spoken. So the one word into a soundproof room, and the water molecule changed. An interesting thing is another scientist did exactly the same thing. They didn't know each other, unrelated, also spoke the word love, and it produced exactly the same molecule shape, that design. Then you see the ice from Antarctica. That's what it looks like, the water molecules from Antarctica, nice and clean and pure and peaceable, that are out there. Now, the science behind this is that water is not only manipulated by sounds, but it also retains the sound after it has been impacted by that particular sound. It creates a unique shape. Just like a snowflake, you know, every snowflake is unique in its shape. Well, this is exactly the same thing. Every sound has a unique shape. During the time of ministry, after the band had finished, we had Janice sing a song in a certain tone and a certain key and a certain note. How many remember that? How many sense the anointing and the love of God? Because she's singing about the love of God in a certain tone. See, that sound impacted you. It impacted you, and it changed something literally in your water molecules. It did, and you actually felt it happen. Now, let me show you the next one. Look at the two right hand top ones. The words, you disgust me, and the words, you're a fool. Look at the toxic reaction. You don't think the words fool or you disgust me carry different weight to the song Amazing Grace? Look at the bottom, Amazing Grace. Look what it did. Or look at the word peace. It looks like a beautiful star with a halo around it. And the word next to it, the word spirit. The word spirit formed a beautiful circle, a beautiful eternal golden circle. Or the word angel looks very similar to the word spirit, doesn't it? Yeah. Huh? Amazing. Amazing how these things, and this is science. There's scientific proof to back this up. But here's the real kicker. Do you know that your body consists of 60% water? And do you know that your brain and your heart is 73% water? All right? So what happens is this. When these words are spoken and you hear these words, they impact your body and the molecules in your body, and they form structures like this. Now, here's the good news. I spoke with Dr. Chris after the service, and he confirmed with me he didn't quite understand what I was asking, but your cells rejuvenate in your body. It takes 7 years for all of your cells to rejuvenate. Some of them take one day. Others take 1 year, some takes 2 years. It depends what part of your body it is. But over a period of 7 years, they all rejuvenate. This means that we have the potential to recreate new structures that have been damaged by words within every 7 year period, at maximum 7 years. So if you got raised in a situation where you've got these structures, molecular structures, were in you as a child, and you've been sitting in that all these years, if your mind is renewed to the Word of God and faith and love gets spoken to you, those structures can change in Jesus' name. Amen? You don't have to stay that way. Now, Amanda did another experiment with the children, which was beautiful. What she did is she had them, put stuff in the ears so they couldn't hear very well. They plugged the ears, and then they had them hum a little tune in their mouth, and then she spoke to them. And then they couldn't really hear what she was saying because what you're saying to yourself is 100% louder than what you're hearing from the external influence. This means the words coming out of your mouth carry 100% more weight than what anybody else is saying to you. It's like this. It's like this. The water outside ships don't sink them. It's the water that gets in the ships that sink them. So don't let what's happening on the outside of you get inside you, because it'll sink you. Don't let what people are saying to you influence you. You say, no. Stop that. Oftentimes people talk and they're just talking about something. We're talking to Pastor Mark and Suzanne, and they were saying about in San Diego, 80% of the businesses that they're in, the printing business that they're in, have gone under. And they would say, yeah, but that's not happening to us. No, not happening to us. And then that person would say, yeah, but what is the name of your business? Impressions Inc. And they said, but it seems like you're always prospering. You always got business. They said, yeah, that's right. We always have business. You see, you don't have to agree with people around you about how bad things are. You don't have to get in the pity party with them. You can turn and you can say, well, you know, that doesn't happen to me. And they go, what do you mean it doesn't happen to you? Well, it just doesn't happen. I'm always walking this and I'm always doing that. And say what God's word says about you. Don't join the pity party. Don't allow those words to come in and form those scarring, toxic things. Because what you say out of your mouth is much, much more important than what other people are saying. Amen. And it's backed up now by science. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let me finish off with this. There is only one weapon that we've been given to do warfare with Satan. Only one weapon. The weapons of our warfare are displayed and discussed in Ephesians 6 and 15. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice it starts off above all. Do you see that? Above all. Above all what? Above all, taking the shield of faith. That means it is the highest priority. If it's above all, then there's nothing above it because it's above all. I'm just stupid enough to understand that. Like above all is, okay, that's the top. Yeah, okay, we're at the top. Okay, so above all, take the shield of faith. You understand something? We cannot successfully resist the devil and his attacks until we take the shield of faith, because it's the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart that he shoots at you. Every mountain he's shooting at you, every storm he's shooting at you can be quenched with the shield of faith. So make sure your shield of faith is working. I see a lot of Christians, they're like dragging along, come to church, dragging along. Well, what are you dragging? That's my shield of faith. Yes, fat good is doing you down there. Get that thing up. Get it up so you can quench the fire. If your shield of faith is dragging down here, you're a sitting duck. You're going to get hit. Our faith is based on one thing and one thing only, the Word of God. So next week, we're going to talk about the power of the Word. The power of the Word. Because if I can get you to believe the Word of God, your problems are over. Your problems are over. Yeah. And most Christians, I can't get them to believe the Word. I don't know why. But there's only one offensive weapon, and it's mentioned here, one offensive weapon in all of our armor, and that is the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It says the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus returns, the book of Revelation, he's riding a white horse. On the side is called the Word of God, and out of his mouth is coming something. What's coming out of his mouth? A two-edged sword is coming out of his mouth, with which he uses to slay the armies of the Antichrist. Out of his mouth is coming the Word of God. It's the Word of God out of your mouth that's going to take your enemy to its knees. It's going to crumble your mountain. It's going to shut up your storm. But it's the Word of God coming out of your mouth. You've got to get that Word in your heart, and you've got to speak it out by faith. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me? I want you to do something. I know we've been saying reach up and push back, but I want you to do something different today. I want you to reach up, and I want you to strike out with your sword with the other hand. That is the Word of God coming out of your mouth. That's a sword that you're penetrating your enemy with. And say this out loud. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. So if we know the authority of God's Word, can you imagine if I've got the authority of God's Word and I know I've got power over Satan, then I can say things like this and say it with me. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Say, I have overcoming faith. In the name of Jesus, I overcome the world. Say, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the power at work in me. Thank God, He always gives us the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Reach up, push back. Now, reach up and thrust your sword in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, the devil might not have been scared of pushback, but he's sure going to be afraid of that sword coming out of your mouth. Amen. All right, give the Lord a praise. And just be seated for one moment, please. Let's have the lights down.